This is Winning at Life. You're listening to the Daily Wrap. We do this every evening at 7. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. Get the phone, and you can make the call. 504-260-0995 to join the conversation.
Yeah, I'm your co-host, James Parker. How you doing? This is The Money Show. Listen for the next hour. We will say something into these microphones that will make you better and more knowledgeable with your money. Again, the phone number. Look, we got a stack here, but I will throw all of this in the trash. If you need to call in right now and you have something that's pressing right now, we will set this aside for you. 504-260-0995.
We can also talk about some of the concern cards from the event this week, the Wine, Wisdom, and Food event that we had in Metairie, Louisiana.
Now, I don't have a copy, so you must have that over there, huh?
Yeah, but I'm not prepared to cover them in the first segment, but you know, we get into the second segment in about 15 minutes. We can start on a few of those.
Well, we can tell them.
You know, they're always very interesting.
And you're going to do one of these, what you just did on Tuesday, you're going to do one of these on the North Shore?
Yes.
Now, we've done the North Shore before, but it's been a while. This one will be on April 16th. That's a Tuesday.
Yes.
The day after tax day?
Yeah, so you can enjoy and have a better day.
Right. That'll be weighing on people's minds, I imagine.
Some wine, some good food, financial wisdom, some ideas to have a better life.
All right, so more on that as we get closer, but it's the same idea, wine, wisdom, and food. It's for people who are thinking about coming on board with a financial advisor or thinking about getting someone else to take a second opinion at the financial plan that they already have. I have some audio here from our fearless leader of the Federal Reserve Bank. They had the meeting yesterday, and there was a podium, and he did speak at it, but there was no rate hike. This is actually...
surprise there, though. No surprise.
No one was expecting a rate hike. But look, this is basically two sound bites in disparate parts of the speech that I smushed together because it gives the full summary here of what all he said.
We continue to expect that the American economy will grow at a solid pace in 2019, although likely slower than the very strong pace of 2018. We believe that our current policy stance is appropriate. Data arriving since September suggests that growth is slowing somewhat more than expected. Financial conditions tightened considerably over the fourth quarter. While conditions have eased since then, they remain less supportive of growth than during most of 2018. We see no need to rush to judgment. It may be some time before the outlook for jobs and inflation calls clearly for a change in policy.
So that sounds like he has no plans to do a rate hike for what, the rest of the year? Is that what you got out of that?
Yeah. But remember, they're still unwinding the balance sheet. They have not paused that yet. So each month they do that really is the equivalent of raising rates.
Good. So there's some tightening going on out there. Some return to normalcy. We had our bond friend Art reach out to me today, and he was pointing at the yield curve's inverted over here. Look at this, Parker. And what it takes for a month is the same return you get on a 10-year bond with the government holding your money. So that's a little bit odd as well. The bond world, have you concerned, Gregory? You see anything odd going on over there?
Well, interest rates going down is kind of the surprise. Not the direction we would really like, but that's what's happening. You know, I'd rather us be at 3, and we're now at about 2.5 on 10-year treasuries.
So he says, Jerome Powell says, that he expects growth to continue, but at a slower pace than 2018. 2018 came in just a hair under 3%. So, well, Jay Powell's basically saying he doesn't expect us to hit 3% this year. That's pretty pessimistic, I think.
I was reading a chart. Go ahead.
I was just saying he sounds really pessimistic because what he's de facto saying is they don't expect growth to get to at least 3% in 2019.
You know, one thing I noticed about his speech, it's just like, it's almost like if I was going to be in monotone and flat like that. I'm like, why am I here? This is so boring. This is no fun. You reckon they like their jobs? They must not. It's like.
He loves his job. It doesn't.
Yeah, it's just monotone, flat, no excitement. But maybe that's the marching orders. No inflections, nothing. It's just this is how it is.
The people that end up in those certain positions of power, these are unelected positions, so they don't have to go give out speeches and win voters over. These are eggheads, and they've never been cool, and they've never been the life of a party. And this is their chance to be the, you know, the pretty girl at prom, basically. Everyone's paying attention to them, and they have the cameras on them. They really are that awkward, naturally. These are not charismatic people. These are bean counters extraordinaire. People have been able to finagle their way through the jungle of power that is Washington, D.C. And I think they're just socially awkward. Jay Powell, Bernanke was, Janet Yellen was, Alan Greenspan, less so, but still kind of a dork. With lack of a better term, what am I looking at? What is this?
You're looking at the inverted yield curves,
okay,
prior to recessions. So you can see the past seven.
So we're not there yet.
Oh no, we're not there yet. Headed that way, but not there yet. You know, you can see where it was headed here, pull back and reset, and took a good bit longer to arrive there. But it's kind of like when you see this, it's inevitably heading that way.
Can you describe what you're showing to me?
I was looking at a inverted yield curves and looking at them from essentially late 60s to present. So it kind of shows them moving and where they break down or invert, which is a predecessor to a recession. Just something that, you know, look, we talk about this time to time. You brought it up. We're not there, but it's something to be aware of.
All right. This book that we've been talking about for a couple months now, someone actually brought one of these back.
Yeah. You know, I've been giving out this book and had somebody actually read it and then asked to come in. And somebody that had been in a year or so ago, not a client, but wanted to come in and talk about creating some tax-free income, looking to retire in about 5 years. And the wife would like to retire about the same time as well. And so we just, you know, we had the conversation. I showed them some scenarios of the max funding, how we had examples of some other cases on how we had built that. And there was a case I showed that was initially funded with $54,000 and adding $1,000 a month for 10 years, roughly getting about $162,000 in.
Okay.
And I think year 11, turning on income of about 20, estimated to be, say, about $21,500 a year that would not go on the 1040. So essentially, yeah, tax-free income. And I showed him, you know, how we structure that, create that through a borrowing method, and then how that's washed later in life. And so then we started looking at his scenario, because some of the things, he's max funding his 401k, his wife is not so doing that to hers, but more than what the match is as well. So that gives you some opportunity there that you're putting that money away pre-tax, and it's going to come out taxed as ordinary income. So some of that income can be shifted. There was some consideration of existing IRA and Roth accounts that could be shifted to that strategy to get that funding. So what he liked was, say, in 10 years to create an income stream, once again, we like multiple income streams, and we like some of them to be tax-free income. So he liked the idea of that number in 10 years to be able to turn on about $21,000. So we started looking at assets and a property he plans to sell, some money inheritance heading his way. So there's a number of ways, actually, we found to put that together and make that work. Because one of the questions said, well, do you think I could create that? Yeah, actually, yeah. So it was a really good conversation. So I'm going to go back to work, and we're going to put together some proposals of funding that and seeing if we can create that income, see how that'll work out. You know, every situation's different, but using the information we discussed in the meeting today. So we'll get back together in a couple weeks and talk about how to get that going for him and get it funded.
The book was part of it, though.
The book was part. He said, I read the book. I wanted to come in and talk about it. He was kind of saying, you know, I don't know that this is a fit for me. So in discussions, he was pretty excited about it. And heck, I was too. I like doing this stuff, income planning, creating tax-free income, such as that. And so, yeah, actually, I really enjoyed the meeting. Pretty fun meeting when you can talk about doing that and helping a client create that and make their retirement wishes come true.
Can we count the income streams real quick? Because he's got a Social Security. His wife's got a Social Security. If they do this max funding.
They both have 401ks. They have Roth.
Yeah, you said there was an existing Roth too?
Yes. Oh, there's a pension in the mix.
Oh,
but
wow.
Now we're going to add and there's, you know, some Roth, not a lot, but then we're going to add this tax-free income through max funding.
If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, call Gregory, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker, and we are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Welcome. How you doing? This is Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. This is The Money Show. I am the Money co-host. What does that mean? It doesn't mean anything. I'm James Parker. How you doing? If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, call Gregory, 504-260-0995. And he just revamped his website, gregoryricks.com. Oh, it looks all bright and shiny and new. But it's got a lot going on over at Gregory Ricks & Associates. We just had two live events this week. We have another live event coming up April 16th, and that'll be on the North Shore at Keith Young's Steakhouse. More info on that as we get closer. But also, we have the new location open up on the North Shore as well, right in the heart of Mandeville. We have a location that we're working on. It should be open soon. Technically, it's Gulfport, but it's right on the line between Gulfport and Biloxi. So we got all that going on. We got the new website and the app still chugging along.
How about that new website?
Yeah, I have one complaint though. You know what I'm going to say?
Doesn't have your picture.
Yeah, it needs more Parker. Where's more? I'm on like one, two of the pages. The U.S. Treasury Department has released new guidelines to allow employers to offer lump sum payouts to Americans in order to buy them out of future annuity payments. This is right up our alley. Seriously, right now, the guy listening, what other show do you listen to that can help you make the lump sum versus pension decision? Previously, under the former administration, the Treasury said it would stop allowing lump sum payouts in 2015 to people that are already receiving pension payments, which resulted in the decision among most employers to just stop offering them. Period. When's the last time you saw one of these in the office? Weren't you telling me about one of those last week?
We typically are having discussions about them every week. Every week it happens.
Talk about that process real quick. Someone comes in and they say, I'm being offered X amount. I love how you do the reverse math because you say, look, if you take this monthly check that they're offering you, how much in assets would you need to generate that income for the rest of your life?
Yeah, because we're going to take the lump sum, the buyout portion you're being offered, and look at now if you take the pension, what is that? And if you were using that lump sum to generate that payout, how much would that pay? What would that percentage be? One we talked to the other day, it was a 5.9% payout. So when you think of that from that return standpoint, that is a pretty good number. Now that was with 100% spousal continuation in that case. Now, if there was no spousal, that would have been over 6% payout because the monthly pension would have been higher. And once again, that's quite a leap, you know, because you're guaranteeing that return. So then you've got to think about, you know, how is that funded by the company? Is that pension funded? Is this somebody that's going to be around another 30 years or so? Why? Because you want the pension to keep working. Be viable going forward. Most pensions are not completely fully funded. Now, with that said, most pensions are healthy, are in good shape, and the companies are doing good. It's just when the company starts doing bad, the industry changed. Like, you know, Sears is one, and their pension was one of their major problems as well, having to keep that funded going forward. But once again, you had a company that, you know, been around over 100 years. No doubt about that. So 30 years ago, would you have said, yeah, you know, one day Sears is going to be gone. They're going to be in bad shape. They're going to just be a small footprint of what they were. So Sears is not gone, but could you have said that? Could they? And, but recently they were on the brink, you know, they had a white knight, so to speak, come in and buy them. The guy that was running the company basically bought out the company in that case. But when you go back and think about it, would you have said that 30 years ago?
Would you have said that about Sears? Would you have said that about Kmart? JCPenney's following suit. Montgomery Ward is gone. Toys R Us is gone.
Radio Shack.
That's a great example as well.
You know, all these. But you go, and were they in trouble 30 years ago? No. Were they in trouble 20 years ago? No. Were they in trouble 10 years ago?
Yeah.
The signs were starting there. And what does that coincide with? The internet. How long's Amazon been around? A decade.
Well,
right? Isn't that?
Really 2 decades. But they took off when we got these things, when we got these smartphones, when we got the computers in our hand. Because the shopping was always more efficient and faster and probably a better experience online. But you were stuck.
Yeah,
at
Amazon
your desk.
Was founded in 1994.
Right. They started the whole book thing in the mid 90s.
Yeah. But you've seen the significant impact over the past decade.
I tell you what's funny, when you do your little exercise, if you go back 30 years and look at the world as we saw it then, 30 years ago, I may not have seen a Blockbuster before. 35 years ago, definitely not.
And so you had that company start up, grow to be mammoth
on every corner for a while,
and then it's gone.
You're right. Creative destruction, though.
And let's see, what was that? Oh, the internet.
Yeah,
took that company away. Might be known as Netflix. Replaced it.
Mike LaPlace, you're on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Mike?
Hey, so on the pension topic, how do the public municipalities justify the high pensions they give? That's one of the last remaining entities that currently gives pensions. How do they justify giving pensions that are so rich, where the employee contributes 7 to 8%, whatever it is, and then the municipality contributes 25% or thereabout, a very, very rich contribution. So if you look at some of these things, and then you have the drop programs that are just another benefit on top of that. If you were to take the present value of the pension for a life expectancy after, say, the age of 60, 65, whatever, take the present value of that, discount it at a reasonable rate. I would argue that you would discount it at the rate let's take a Jefferson Parish employee. You discounted it at what the Jefferson Parish tax-free bond is, or maybe even add taxes onto that. But that should be your discount rate, because that's who's guaranteeing the income stream. So you discounted at a very low rate, let's call it 4%, 5%. Discount a 25-year pension stream, that back to present value. You come up with a present value that is really, really high for public employees that basically can't get fired.
I get what he's talking about is some of those pensions are pretty big because some of the high level positions, but what you have is something that is not going to work out long range. You know, you go back to the firefighters, the policemen in the New Orleans system. That's very problematic. You go to Dallas, the police department there, and in California, you know, it's a mess. I'm going to go a little bit further than he did. And he was talking about how do some of these municipalities do this, justify this? Well, once again, they're not, whoever's running it really isn't paying for it. Just the taxpayers are. And if the pension and such doesn't work, who is paying for that part of the problem? The taxpayers. if it's a municipality, those residents that reside in that area. PERS, the public employees pension in Mississippi, they've got what's called the 13th check. It's an extra check based on the increase. And essentially what they get is a 3% increase every year. Here's a post regarding that with some numbers. He was talking about the 13th check. Once again, it's based on a 3% COLA. The average state employee has worked and paid into the system for more than 22 years, and the average retirement income is $19,256. So he ran some numbers here. He said, if that average employee was 20 years old when they started and worked 22 years in the system, then retired.
At 42?
At 42.
Yikes.
Because that's what they're talking is a little more than 22 years is the average employee. And after 30 years of retirement, they would be age 72. So the average retirement income, not including the COLA for that person, would be $19,256. And their total annual income included in the COLA would be about $38,000. So when they retired, their check was $19,000. But over the next 30 years, it grew to $38,000. Yeah, that's... Look, their pension program is having financial trouble. It is unsustainable. Cause tell me, how? Look at what you have to do is fund that. It's not that you have to fund that, okay, we've got to support a $19,256 in annual pension, because you kind of know what that's going to be and it's going to stay there. We've got this funded. No, you have to keep funding more to support the growth of the payments into the future. That's a monster. Look, pensions are a monster anyhow for a company or municipality or state. But when you have it growing like that,
that's compounding interest working against you.
That is compounding interest working against you.
Well, I took the question or the approach more as a philosophical approach. And how does this happen? It's because the guy that wins is the dude that promises the most freebies in so many of these elections. These are politicians in charge, not a board of directors, not shareholders holding people accountable.
Well, this, and going back to this, and I was on some guested on some talk shows on some stations in Mississippi not too long ago. And we were discussing the state pension. We kind of went through the numbers. And at the end of the day, I said, it's unsustainable. A day of reckoning is going to come. It maybe not this year, not next year, but they said, well, when do you think? I said, I think you've got about 10 years to fix it, but it's a problem they put off every year. But that is a tremendous number to put out there. You know, public corporations couldn't fund that on that type of increases.
We have seen companies make the mistake and be too generous with their pensions, and they've either gone out of business because of it or had to go back and reform it. We talked about Sears, what was it, in 2004, when they basically tried in their pension system buy out as many people as possible, and they still never really got out from underwater.
Well, that's part of buyouts is to get them out the system. We don't have to fund it in the future. And so, and then they're changing the rules of, you know, the new employees don't get as much. You know, they're altering the system, and that's why, you know, you probably have about 25% of workers presently have pension systems, where we go back 20 years ago, it approached 50%. So it started heading the other direction.
Larry Metairie, you're on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Larry?
I was wondering what the pros and cons were of an annuity. If a person was going to come into, a fairly sizable amount of cash, what would his or her better investment be?
What would be, what is your risk tolerance would be one of the questions. We would have to figure out what your risk tolerance is. Now, go ahead.
I'm sorry. The risk tolerance would be fairly safe.
Okay. Well, then you're probably talking about fixed annuities, because when you put out there generally annuity, that is a large net. So let's use a smaller net. So if you're kind of say, I'm, you know, I want safe money, kind of define it that way, where you're probably not wanting a variable annuity because those are basically mutual fund wrappers. So if you're not wanting risk exposure, you'd stay away from the variables. So you're going to the fixed annuity side. There's one core negative, and it's called a surrender period. Meaning if, let's say it has a 10-year surrender period and 5 years in, and let's say you put $100,000 in it, and then five years in of the 10-year period, you're saying, I want all my money out. And there might be a fee to exit all at once, and that might be 5%, hypothetically speaking, because usually it starts higher and reduces over that period. So that is the negative. And you have annuities that also have longer than 10-year surrender periods. I dislike anything beyond 10 years. It better bring me some good stuff for me to want to be in it more than 10 years. Because I've studied this. I've been in this industry for decades. And kind of what I find on benefits versus time, the sweet spot is around 10 years. I don't see that you get more benefit for staying longer than having that. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to jump out the annuity, but it's just nice to know that that account's liquid and there's not a fee to exit. But making a choice on annuity and having an annuity would be that you've moved past the surrender period and it's still doing its job and you're happy with it. It doesn't mean because the surrender period's over, you have to move it. This is not a bond that's maturing or expiring, but it should be viable to continue to do its job. If it's not, you could move it, and there's not a fee.
Mm-hmm. Is there a better solution than a annuity? Are there better options?
Well, if we're getting into what will an annuity do, there's fixed interest annuities and then indexed annuities or index linked investing. So when you kind of speak of fixed interest annuities, it's kind of like thinking about it like a bank CD. You're getting an interest rate for a specific period of time. And this, I'll call them CD annuities. Technically, they're multi-year guaranteed annuities. So you have that period of time. A fixed indexed annuity is where you're linking to get the upside of the market, but you don't have any market exposure. Annuities are backed up by the reserves of the insurance company. So when it really comes down to, there's three worlds: the banking world, Wall Street world, and the insured money world. And that's when I kind of say that, I'm speaking about money backed up by insurance companies. And I don't know of any other worlds, but there's a bunch of different type of annuities. And we at our firm really reduce it down to a few we really like, but it's subject to what you need it to do. Sounds like you might want to call me at the daytime number to maybe have a deeper conversation. My office number is 504-832-9200. You're listening to Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. We'll be right back. Winning at Life, live financial news talk radio. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks, along with James Parker. We have a few more minutes. You can join the conversation as well. 504-260-0995. The previous caller I want to throw out there, my website is gregoryricks.com as well for the listeners that want to find out more about the host of this show.
Yeah, well, when the last caller was asking you about vehicles looking for safety that he can take a lump of money, a pile of money he's about to come into, and turn it into, he wants to grow it and turn it into income. Of course, that's basically the definition of annuities, but I thought when he followed up that you would maybe throw in the max funding.
Well, there's a lot more needed to discuss there. We don't know how much money. We don't know how much income he's looking to take off of that. This money he's coming into. Does he have other assets? What is the timeline that we're neat? How long might this money work before we need to turn on income? Or is this kind of like, yeah, I need to get this to work and start getting a check? or the conversations. And if he was to come into the office and have a discussion, you know, there's about 14 pages that I go through, which gives me a guide to exploring kind of everything that's going on. Now, if he's kind of like two of the five areas that we work on in the guided planning system that he brought up is wanting to create income and investments. Now, what he's looking for is safe. He doesn't want to get parted from his money. It doesn't mean he's okay with some of it moving around a little bit, but he really wants to retain it and generate income from now on in the future, I'm assuming there. Now, when you get to the standpoint of saying, well, is it a fixed annuity? The annuity salesman would probably say, yeah, you need to put it into an annuity. You need to put all of it in an annuity. And the problem is you can't. And if they were to take all of your money and put it in an annuity, they've broken a bunch of rules out there. First off, it has a fee to exit, so there's a fee for liquidity. So that right there says you shouldn't put everything into that because you have to have a consideration for liquidity. And we like to treat those as bond-like tools because then you're looking at once we figure out those answers to questions that I brought up, you know, when are you needing income? How much income? Does that correlate with the assets that you have? You know, he might be coming in to hypothetically, let's just say it's 500,000, but he's wanting a 70,000 a year income from it. Well, those numbers don't work. So that's some of the things, and he might want that income to start now, but if he says, well, I want that income to start in 15 years, well, with growth, then those numbers might work then. But I don't know. We didn't get into any of that stuff. And, you know, we would actually, if somebody like that was to come in, we're going to spend an hour together talking about all this stuff and answering their questions and probably educating them. Doesn't necessarily mean we get to guidance or advice on that first visit. Probably have to go back and do some work. And he probably has to go do some thinking to come back and ask more questions, give us information to where we can do proper advice on how to build that. So one thing you can use annuities for is to levelize risk where you are using some equities, some stocks and bonds and mutual funds and ETFs perhaps as a mix. But I don't think you should be fully exposed to equities. Why? They can move around quite a bit there. And you want to reduce some of that risk or volatility, and you could levelize that with the right annuity. And annuities are not one size fits all. There's, there is a lot of companies in that space, and each of those companies have a lot of annuities, and they all do different things. Like we talk about the surrender fee, the length of the surrender period. How are they growing? What type of indexes? Is there a fee or margin for those? There's a lot of things to look at. And how, and actually the other thing is, okay, yeah, it's an annuity. Okay, how is it performed? Now, are we talking about fixed or variable on that? So I would think that we have to account for some liquidity. And so depending on that, that might be bank money. It could be in a brokerage account, but just setting in money market. There might be some equities, but you can do the conservative scenario of that. Maybe build some ETFs that are have some treasuries, maybe have some short duration bonds, maybe a preferred stock ETF. That has lower volatility, and especially match with some annuities, really helps you levelize that and give you that comfort that, hey, this is a fairly, you might could use the word safe strategy. It reduces risk. And you had mentioned the max funding strategy. Once again, I don't know if how much he's getting, if some of that money could be put into that strategy to create tax-free income later, which is a really good idea. And there's a floor to that strategy that doesn't expose them to market risk either. And that's a cool thing about that strategy is you're basically building a strategy to create income that doesn't expose you to market risk, but it really does a really great job and creates tax-free income. So once again, I couldn't offer that up and say, but he was specifically asking about annuities and what's the problem. The pros is they can do what he's wanting to do. Is that suitable completely and the only answer for him? It can well be suitable, but it might not be the only answer for him.
Sounds like he needs the book.
Yeah. Hey, and you've heard us talk about the book. You know, it's basically it's a conversation about creating tax-free income, looking at the tax rules that we're under and where things are headed. And you might think you don't have time, and you know what? You may well have time. You might be able to shift some income, rearrange some of what you're doing to create tax-free income. We want multiple streams of income, but do we want to pay ordinary income on all of everything we put away? Do you understand that if you're putting money into a 401k pre-tax, so you're putting in pre-tax money because it's deducted out of your check before you pay taxes, and they're matching it, well, that's going in pre-tax, and over the years, it's building up. And when you take it out, how is it going to be taxed?
Ordinary.
It's going to be taxed as ordinary income. Gentleman I was having a phone conversation with today, his retirement income is going to be $100,000 a year. Well, he's not in the minimum tax bracket. That involves his Social Security, his wife's Social Security, and actually it includes some guaranteed income from annuities, couple of annuities kicking out. So I gave you those three areas of income streams. He's got $100,000 a year in income coming in. Boom. Next thing you know, and all that's taxable. So, okay. Social Security is not 100% taxable, but his is 85% inclusive. So if you're wanting to start thinking, how can I create some tax-free income? Well, look, email me and ask for a copy of the book. I'm going to mail it to you. And then you can reach back out to me and we can have a conversation. It's the email address is info@gregoryricks.com. You could text us through the Winning at Life app, which you should download that app. It's free. Free's for me. I like that. And you can call the office. If there's a couple reasons to call the office, you might want to have a conversation like some of the callers tonight. You just might want it to go longer than a few minutes on the air, and we've got to drill down on some things there. And you might just want to ask for the book also, or you might want to say, hey, when's Gregory's next event? We've got one upcoming on the North Shore here in a few weeks in Mandeville. The office number is 504-832-9200, and the website is gregoryricks.com. Oh, how to download that app? Go to your app store and type in Winning at Life. Here's one of the comment cards from the event, the Wine, Wisdom, and Food event.
Let's hear it.
So why are there more men than women here tonight?
Well, that is odd. Actually, it's probably
it's
more
usually
often
the other way.
More women, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess the guys ganged up and wanted to fill the place up. I don't know. So that was probably a woman asking that. In that case there. Oh, there's the mute. We're already out of time. Well, you know what? I tell you what, we do a Saturday show also, 3 hours. We're going to have some time for sure on Saturday show to get more of this information in, more of your calls. And once again, if you'd like to have a conversation with me and my team, great support staff, 504-832-9200, gregoryricks.com, make the call.
Thanks for hanging out with us. Let's do this tomorrow again at 7. You want to join us?